people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, see if we can't go out, get that conversation started with friends, family, person we meet on the street, or maybe we just get the gears turning within our own head, see where that rabbit hole takes us. So cancel culture is big news, big topics. I mean, we've seen that, like I said, the flag a couple weeks ago and statues and all sorts of things just taken down because they're bad and they're evil and they're misinterpreted or they come from a bad place, supposedly. And I start listening to all these interviews and conversations that are happening locally, and it honestly makes my head hurt. I hit the point of hyperventilating sometimes on some of the arguments on where these conversations go, how they're formed, what they believe that they've started in, and where they continue to. Now, at the beginning of July, Harper's Magazine announced that they were going to publish a letter regarding cancel culture in their October issue. And it went through and it cited some broad examples. It didn't get too specific, but they were worried about this form of mob justice that was coming out to silence and correct things was getting too out of hand too quickly. The inability to have this free exchange of ideas, not being able to have the conversation just by sharing individual points of view becomes dangerous, becomes a very limited echo chamber. Something that I agree with. I think that more conversation, whether or not you agree with it, needs to happen. I think individual points of view need to be maintained. We can all have our beliefs, be they right or wrong. They are our opinions. And my right and wrong is not necessarily your right and wrong. We have a society, a collection of rules that we all agree upon that create this right and wrong. But a couple of days after this letter was announced and written and displayed, there was a response letter coming from a larger collection of individuals. Both of them had many, many co-authors or signatories, people that signed on to agree with both statements that the letters had made. And within the response letter, they complained. They brought up all the individual examples of the first letter, and they expanded on them and said that these people were insensitive or they had short-sighted points of view that needed to be expanded upon on the reasons that they were called out and more or less canceled. And when you start digging into the minutiae of things, maybe it does justify certain things that deserve to be canceled or called out, at least offer people the chance to correct their situations. But at what point does this go too far? I remember a couple years ago, a coworker asking me if right and wrong are inherent within human nature. And I told him, no, I don't believe so. And a simple, easy example was Nazi Germany. Nazis said that the Jews were bad and evil and the Aryan race was correct and right. And there had to be that extermination that went on, that destruction of society. Did everybody agree with it? Absolutely not. But there was a large enough contingent of people that felt that that was the right, correct thing to do, even if they were just following orders. We can go further back in time and look at the time of Genghis Khan, where you could be dismembered or beheaded, killed for even the slightest transgression. And while we think that might be ancient history, we can come a little bit further forward. In a book I'm in the middle of reading, they cited an example from their time in Saudi Arabia. I believe it was the mid to late 80s, where his chauffeur told them that they could leave all their expensive camera equipment just sitting on the back seat with the doors unlocked and the windows down because no one would think about stealing. Because even if you stole something like that, you could get beheaded. And there was, at that time, that day that he was visiting, a public beheading square. Something that, again, from the Dark Ages of the Knights of the Round Table kind of deal, where you, again, go watch someone get beheaded for breaking the law. And I feel that, again, society creates more or less what's right and wrong. And today we are in this time of social media, hypersensitivity to focus on making things correct. But what is correct? What is right? What is wrong? We have the social media rules, but even those get very dicey very quick when anything of a contradicting opinion can be considered fake news. Whether or not you agree with something as simple as the hydroxychloroquine debate, the removal of videos and conversation of that is a dictatorial decision of what is right and wrong. We need that point of extra communication to find out where we are within things. And it becomes even more difficult when you are a business operator and you're out there trying to stay ahead of the game. No one wants to be called out as racist or held for beliefs that are wrong. I mean, on certain aspects, religion says certain things for certain religions of what is right and wrong, of life choices, of personal identity beliefs that helps us choose or believe, again, what is right and wrong. And yet when we come into the realm of social media and this global connectivity and realizing that humans are humans, right and wrong all of a sudden again becomes, the waters become muddied and becomes a difficult position to hold when your religion says something about how someone else should live, and yet someone's personal beliefs contradict that. We can have the moral authority, moral righteousness to stand up for what is right and wrong. But again, that individual view of life is not equal to everybody. And we seem to be forcing that, again, on everybody. There's a local zoo here in downtown Seattle, or just outside downtown Seattle, somewhere within the greater Seattle area. It's big. You go across the water, it's Seattle, as far as I'm concerned. Giant city. But they had some LED monkeys that they would hang up in the windows during Christmas time for celebration. I've had them up for 5 years. I've never heard of this. I don't rarely go to Seattle nowadays. Not a fan of zoos. But monkeys. Sounds like monkeys. Whatever. It is what it is. And then I heard this story about them being told to be taken down. And I was like, oh, I wonder if they're similar to blackface. Or it, just that terrible image, right? We can all agree that the minstrel shows of the past are not kosher of today. That is a past way of thinking. And I figured it, if they looked something like that, okay, I can justify the pulling of it down. But for 5 years, they were there. No one batted an eye. And this company, this Woodland Park Zoo, got a new director, black woman of color, who said that these monkeys are racist.
Once it's been brought to our attention that they're racially offensive, and I can't speak to how they're racially offensive because I'm not a person of color, I can hear the person of color tell me this. And this was our executive director at the time, Darnisha Wary. So taking her words in, I went through the same process that you are and everyone in the community is, because we're a white community. So to us, these are monkeys. We understand why they're there. We love them. So my first reaction was one of, huh? How and why? But moving past all that, taking her at her word that they cause pain and are offensive to her, we were then faced with, how do we continue this tradition with our beloved monkeys, now knowing that they cause pain?
And somehow they cause pain. They're silhouettes. They're not even close to anything. And while people may find that a derogatory term of calling a black person a monkey has been used, at no point would that, at least as far as what crosses my mind, and again, maybe this is my white cisgendered point of privilege, unable to see, but these were hung up without any malintent put forth. These, again, were just silhouettes, but because someone felt that they were outlandish and somehow derogatory, it becomes racist. At the same time of the notification of the pulling down of these silhouettes, these racist silhouettes, this same individual made a complaint that there's two water fountains that are within a few feet, or at least at the time they were within a few feet of each other. One was a water fountain from the very early 1900s, very old-fashioned because of the era of the neighborhood, old schoolhouse, so they kept it there as a sign of the times. And then back in 2008, they installed a new water fountain a couple feet away, something that is disability accessible, has a water bottle filler, all fancy, brand new. So they keep the old, and then they put the new one in to be compliant. Fair enough. But that same individual complained that these two water fountains were reminiscent of a time of segregation. Now, can you see that if you choose to see that? Yes. Or could you choose to see that this old water fountain, a sign of the times, maybe you don't recognize it specifically as a water fountain. Go ahead and look up a 1900 water fountain. Not what I would have considered, but it's completely different. Not what we see. But again, because this is potentially racist of a time of segregation when there were two types of water fountains, one's for colored people and one's for white people, they took out the old one. Getting in front of this situation before they can be canceled, before they can be inundated with the claim that these individuals running the Woodland Park Zoo are racist. I don't get it. While it can be viewed, is that the intention? Were these silhouettes, again, these monkeys, these LED silhouettes, put there as a derogatory term? No. Someone chose to interpret it. But again, because we're out here trying to get ahead of this situation, we've got to protect everybody because it makes them feel unsafe.
I think that the conflation of mob justice and cancel culture and employment law, I think it's silly. I mean, we need to be very specific about what we're talking about. And I don't think that conflating all of these things together and saying, okay, that's the end of the conversation, I don't think that's how we should be talking about these things. I think we should be specific about what problems we have with employment law. And we should also be specific about how we want to exist as a culture. And when we're talking about folks in the media and folks in academia, I think it's perfectly fine if people in your newspaper, if people at the New York Times, if black employees at the New York Times say, I don't like an op-ed that was published, and in fact, it made me feel unsafe. I think that is part of having a vibrant public square. I think it's important that we have a vibrant public square. Mm-hmm. And I think where I disagree with Thomas and where we sort of disagree with Thomas in the letter is that when voices that have been historically marginalized say, hey, I don't like this thing, it makes me feel unsafe, I think that's part of the conversation, and that's not censoring someone. That's just, you know, expressing how we feel.
Now, that was Gabe Schneider of the response letter to the Harper's letter. Again, talking about how it makes us feel unsafe. And again, we can have that conversation. We can come forward and figure it all out. But at a point in time, we need to say, this is not racist. I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry that someone has chosen to classify you that way. But this is not racist. This has gone a step too far. But again, because of the outrage, the moral outrage, to go after businesses that do not see things in the quote-unquote correct way of thinking, the proper way of thinking, you have to be proactive because otherwise you might end up like a coffee shop.
My coffee shop recently got canceled, and I don't really know how I feel about it. I live in Maryland in a small town that's very conservative, and the coffee shop owners are conservative too. Something that I've never held against them because they're very sweet, kind people, and they don't have a harmful bone in their body. Recently, someone bombarded them, a group of people actually bombarded them and canceled their store, and they ended up having to delete all of their social media because of something they liked online that was both sexist and racist. It was terrible. It was awful to read, but I don't know that liking the post, whether it was intentional or not, was warranting of such a harsh response. And it's made me really question cancel culture as a whole.
So there was that point, again, this coffee shop out there just liking something on social media, sexist and racist. Did it reflect the views of the entire store? Maybe, maybe not. Did it reflect the views of maybe the community that they believe that they were a part of? Maybe, maybe not. But because, again, someone saw this as a means to correct their thinking, they got lambasted. And so we come back again to the Woodland Park Zoo, taking down the monkeys, taking down the water fountain, because one person found it inappropriate, unable to have this conversation. We can, again, go into specifics on why individuals say or do things, and maybe they are old-fashioned, maybe their beliefs are derogatory, or maybe, just maybe, they actually reflect the views of the company or the individual, and not everybody wants to be held in the exact same light. Is that, again, the reason to go forth and cancel and destroy people's livelihood? I don't know. We know how I feel, at least, on a company or an individual's right to refuse service. You have the right to boycott. I don't believe that boycotting is necessarily the same as cancel culture. I think cancel culture runs a much stronger feeling. It's a bigger group of people. If you boycott something, fine. That's your local town area that's not going to purchase something. People will pay financially. But when we start coming after individuals because we disagree with how we feel on how they feel, and we start threatening them, shouting them down, at what point do those people feel unsafe? And now their freedom of speech, their beliefs now have to be held in secret. You may reinforce their feelings of what they actually believe, or maybe instill new negative thoughts in your attempt to correct and enhance their views. But all in all, it all kind of rolls out in the wash. I mean, we will figure this out. You're going to have to. Unless we delete the internet, get some sort of Carrington event, wash it all out, we're going to have to start from ground zero. But we need to find that balance. We need to figure out these talking points. Again, no one agrees on everything. Ever. Never 100%. But that's okay. Because all we're doing is getting the conversation started. We're not out to cancel people. We're just out to figure it all out and find that common place between each other. And I'm Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on the toxic Twitter site, at Billy Bones. Place is not healthy. Cancel Culture Central. But you can come there, shoot me a tweet, let me know, say hey. Or you can go to the website, billybones.com. That's spelt the same way, the number 3 instead of the E. You can go there, you can join the Discord, or even send me an email. Let me know what's going on. Let me know things I might have left out of this podcast, things I might have needed to add. Just have that longer form of conversation. You also find past episodes and the show notes, links there within. And this is a value for value podcast. If you found value out of this podcast, I ask that you give it a share. Maybe someone else can get some talking points, get some ideas rolling within their brain. Or if you don't want to share it, that's okay. Maybe leave a review. 1 to 5 stars and a brief little diatribe. Let people know whether or not this show's worth listening to. Or even if you found monetary value out of this show, again, you go to that website, billybones.com. You scroll all the way down. You click that value for value button, take you to PayPal, chip in whatever you felt this show is worth. But otherwise, I love you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.